think maybe I've used this before, but it's just so good that I thought it's worth using a second time. This lady was praying to God. She said, God, so far today I've done pretty good. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been greedy. I haven't been grumpy or nasty or selfish or overindulgent. I haven't said one bad word today. But God, in a moment, I'm going to get out of bed. And from that point on, I am going to need a lot of help from you. Can you relate to that? You know, life isn't easy. In fact, life is a battle. And we need His help in fighting that battle. And if someone says to me, Kevin, I'm praying for you, I'm glad to welcome those prayers. I need all the prayer support that I can get. And I would imagine that you feel the same way. I don't know if the name E.V. Hill means anything to you. He was a Baptist preacher for a lot of years at the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church in Los Angeles. And that church, under his leadership, became one of the largest African-American congregations in the United States. E.V. Hill was a friend to several U.S. presidents. He was a friend of Dr. Martin Luther King. He was a friend of and co-worker of Billy Graham. And he was one of the first African-American preachers to have a weekly broadcast of his sermon on TV. Needless to say, his tenure in ministry was quite successful. And to know his roots, you wouldn't have thought that he could have got to that point, that he would have had that kind of success. He grew up in a very poor family. His Depression-era family, they were so poor that his mother sent him at age 4 to live with a friend in a nearby town and for her to raise her son. Evie's given name was Ed, and he grew up calling this lady who took him into her home, he called her Mama. And although she had very little material means, Mama had a big faith in Jesus, and she had big plans for Ed. She wasn't going to let him fail. Against all odds, Ed graduated from his rural high school. In fact, he was the only graduate of his class. After he was accepted at Prairie View A&M University, Mama took Ed to the bus station. She had bought a ticket for him. She gave him that ticket. And along with the ticket, she gave him $5. And she said this as she put him on that bus, I want you to know Mama is going to be praying for you. And on the day he registered for classes, of that $5 that she had given to him, he had left in his pocket $1.90. And he needed $80 in cash to register and to be admitted into the school. He had no way of earning or getting that kind of money. But remembering that Mama was praying for him, he got in line anyway. And in one ear, he was hearing the devil say, just get out of line. There's no way this is going to work out for you. But in his other ear, he was hearing Mama say, I'll be praying for you. And he stayed in line, believing in Mama's promise of prayer. And the closer he got to the front of the line, the more nervous he got. And it was his turn next. The girl in front of him had finished with her registration. It was now his turn to register for the college. And about the time he was to step up, he felt a hand on his shoulder. It was Dr. Drew, an official at the college. And he said, are you Ed Hill from Sweet Home, Texas? He answered that he was. And Dr. Drew said to him, we've been looking for you all morning. We have a four-year scholarship for you to cover room and board, tuition, and $35 a month to boot for expenses. And of course, at that time, $35 a month was quite a blessing of money. And I imagine Ed Hill was in shock at that moment. And probably he could hear again ringing in his ears Mama's words, "I'll be praying for you." And he began to understand more the magnitude of those words. Mama kept on praying for Ed, and God just kept on blessing him all the way through college and beyond that into a lifetime of ministry and serving God. I read that story this last week, and it just brought to mind James chapter 5, verse 16, the prayer of a righteous man, or you could put in there, the prayer of a righteous woman has great effects. I mentioned to you last week about Paul's habit of praying for the believers in all the churches that he was writing to. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, he writes this, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you." He was a habitual prayer warrior. And keep in mind, he had never even met these people at Colossae. He had just heard about them through Epaphras, who has come to visit him in prison. And yet, Paul is praying for them unceasingly. He truly cared about these people in Colossae, and he was praying big prayers for them. For these next few minutes, I want to break down for you Paul's prayer for these saints at Colossae. First of all, he prayed that they be filled up with the knowledge of God's will. Let me read to you that verse from Colossians 1:9. It was on the screen there a moment ago, and I think we'll get it again. Chapter 1, verse 9, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." That's a pretty awesome prayer request, isn't it? Wouldn't you like to be filled up with the knowledge of God's will? I would like that. And if you would pray that prayer for me, I would welcome that prayer, and I would be thankful to you for praying that prayer for me. And I need to pray that prayer for you too. Lord, help us all to be understanding of your will. And better yet, if we would pray specific prayers for one another in this regard. For instance, Lord, Austin Black, I saw him here sitting back there. Lord, would you help Austin Black to know what to do about a job and what your will is for him? And Karen Paddock is sitting here. Lord, would you help Karen Paddock to know what to do about her back and what doctor to see that can help her so that she can find relief? And I see Mason Fortner back on the back row here. Lord, as he's about to graduate from high school, help him to know where to go to school, and would you make it clear to him what your will is for his life and what you would have him to do. And we could just go right on with different people in the congregation. If we could pray for one another that they would know what the will of God is for their life. If we could pray specifically for each other, who of us would not appreciate that kind of prayer support? But in order for that to happen, we have to make ourselves a little bit vulnerable to each other, don't we? And I understand for some of us that is a bit uncomfortable. We don't want to be an open book to everyone. Could I encourage you to find at least a few people that you could be vulnerable with? Cindy and I are in a small group on Sunday nights, and I've noticed the more we become comfortable with each other, the more vulnerable we are with each other. The last couple of Sunday nights, there have been some prayer requests to the group, and there have been some tears flowing, and there have been some hearts being laid bare, and we have been able to pray for one another and cry with each other. We are bearing one another's burdens, and I've sensed it has been a really good thing that God is doing among us. And that's the benefit of a small group. And I wish more of you would be willing to take the time for that kind of connection. We are so independent of each other, aren't we? And we're so busy and we are so private. The Christian life is easier lived if we are interlocked with other believers rather than for us trying to be the Lone Ranger. I read about a man who had muscular dystrophy who competed in and completed the Boston Marathon, which is 26.2 miles. It took him more than 20 hours to finish the race. I think we have a picture of him here. The winner of the race did it in 2 hours and 9 minutes. 18 hours later, during the 5 o'clock hour the next morning, the last runner crossed the finish line. This fellow right here who has muscular dystrophy. I can't even begin to pronounce his name for you. He's from Venezuela. And as he finished the race, he gave tribute to two people who took every step with him in that race. It was cold, it was windy, it was raining, it was all through the night hours, and yet he said, "These two have been with me every step of this race." And he was giving them thanks. I thought it was funny, as he crossed the finish line, he apologized to Boston for being so tardy. Just as he needed these two people alongside of him in that race, we in the Christian life need someone to walk with us through life. There are so many one another's in the New Testament writings. We are to love one another, and we are to encourage one another, and we are to build up one another, and we are to be devoted to each other, and we are to forgive each other. And in this case, we are to pray for one another. And specifically, as Paul prayed for the Christians there in Colossae, that they would know fully the will of God for their life, that's what we ought to be praying for each other too. That we here together could know the will of God for our life. Let me give to you a second thing that Paul prayed about for these believers at Colossae. He prayed that they would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Let me read to you from verses 10 through 12 of Colossians chapter 1. "So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." I mentioned to you that Paul prayed big prayers, and he prayed specific prayers. In this case, he's praying for the believers at Colossae to walk in a manner that is worthy of the Lord. And then he spells out for them exactly what that means. He prays that they could bear fruit in every good work. He prays that they might increase in their knowledge of God. He prays that they might increase in God's power for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. He prays that they could joyously give thanks to the Father for the inheritance that He has in store for them. Brothers and sisters, this is quite a prayer that Paul is praying for the saints there at Colossae. And do you know what would be a good practice for us to do? That we would take this very prayer that Paul has prayed and that we would pray it back to God on behalf of the brothers and sisters at Reinhardt. Think about that. In fact, I've been doing that all this week, praying for you. This very prayer. Dear God in heaven, would you help all of us here at Reinhardt to walk in a manner that is worthy of you? In other words, Lord, would you help us to walk in a manner that is pleasing to you? Would you help us to live such lives that it would bring a smile to your face? And God, would you help us to bear fruit in every good work? Would you help the brothers and sisters at Reinhardt Church to bear fruit, to bear spiritual fruit, to bear people fruit to your glory? And Lord, would you help us to increase in knowledge of you? Not just to have knowledge in our head, but to have the knowledge of you in our heart, that it would make a difference in our lives. And God, would you help us at Reinhardt to increase in your power, your resurrection power, God. Would you help us to dig deep into your power so that we might have more steadfastness and more patience? And Lord, would you help us to have a joyous thanksgiving in our heart, understanding the inheritance that you have in store for us, that you have heaven, that you have all of your glory waiting for us. Lord, as we realize that, may we give thanks to you. You see, praying the scripture back to God is a good thing. And certainly you can't go wrong by praying for each other the very things that Paul prayed for the Colossian Christians about. At the communion time, Marvin mentioned the scripture from Ephesians chapter 3. That was Paul's prayer for the Ephesian church. And if you and I would learn to pray the prayers of the Apostle Paul that he prayed for the churches that he was writing to, if we'll just go back and pray those prayers back to God for one another, that could be a very good thing for us. Do we believe that God hears and answers our prayers? I hope that we do. I read about one lady who believed that God would answer her prayer, and she was so convinced that He would, she was making plans already for her life and what it was going to be like on the other side of that answered prayer. And it's kind of funny, she had a very cantankerous husband. And she had reached the limit of what she could take from him. And she said to him, "I'm praying that God will take one of us home. And when He answers my prayer, I'm going to live with my sister in Grand Rapids." You know, give her the credit she deserves. She believed that God would answer her prayer. I don't know that I'd recommend you praying the prayer that she prayed. But I do recommend you praying the prayer that Paul prayed. It was an intercessory prayer for the spiritual growth of the saints at Colossae, and we can be confident that God hears every prayer that we pray to Him. Isaiah 55, 6 says, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near." Jeremiah 29, 12 says, "Call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." Chapter 33 of Jeremiah, verse 3, "Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know." And then over in the New Testament, Jesus said this, "Ask, and it," what? "Will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks shall find, and to him who knocks it will be opened." Our prayers to God make a difference. As Paul concluded his prayer, he reminded the believers of God's great grace. Let me read to you verses 13 and 14. Of Colossians chapter 1. "For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Now that is a truth that we need to be reminded of. We have been rescued. We have been delivered from the domain of darkness. We did not escape on our own. We did not bulk up and bust out of the chains that bind us. Instead, Jesus came and rescued us from the power of Satan. Another word that is used in verse 14, the word redemption. Jesus redeemed us. In other words, he bought us back. The redemption price was his own blood. Your redemption, my redemption, cost him his life. You've heard me say this many times. No one has ever loved you like Jesus. I want to read to you from Dr. Jeremiah's book about the love of God. This is what he says. "The Lord does not love you because of your accomplishments or your status or lifestyle. He simply loves you because he loves you. It's his nature to love. Jesus has loved you from before the foundation of the world. He doesn't love you because of who you are or what you have done. Instead, he loves you because of who he is." The plan of redemption was in place before the world was created. And so when the time was right, Jesus came here. He left heaven to come here. To become one of us, he took on flesh, and he then rescued us from sin's penalty by taking that penalty upon himself. He died in our place. And then, praise the Lord, he raised up victoriously. He is our great deliverer. We're talking the rescue story of all rescue stories. He is the rescuer, and we are the ones being rescued. We were helpless. We were hopeless. We were lost in the darkness, but he brought us into his marvelous light. Verse 12 of Colossians 1 says, "He qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints." No wonder we should give thanks to him joyously. If you've never given your life to Jesus, we invite you to do that. And for all of us here today, the challenge is to become better prayer warriors for each other. Let's pray together. Lord, would you help us to know that we are in this battle together and we need one another. We need the prayer support of each other. I pray that you would raise up more prayer warriors among us. I thank you for Paul's example to us. I thank you for his prayer. Lord, to just read through it very quickly, it's easy to gloss over and not really tune in to what he's saying. But as I've taken a lot of time this week to study this and to absorb it into my mind and then to pray it for my brothers and sisters here, it has become so much more meaningful to me. Oh God, help us to walk in a manner worthy of your calling. And God, would you help us to bear fruit? Would you help us to know you and to know your power that we might have a steadfastness and patience? And God, would you help us to realize the inheritance that you have waiting for us? And therefore that we would be so thankful with great joy. And it's in the powerful name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.